Now again, we're going to read from the Word of God. We believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And this is the most important part of our meeting, is the reading of the Scripture. And I have a number of readings I want to give this evening. First of all, in Luke's Gospel and in chapter number 12. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 12. And we want to read from verse number 15. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And the Lord Jesus is the speaker, and he gives this warning. He says unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. That is the love of money. For a man's life consisteth not, that is, it doesn't depend in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns, and I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And again, the New Testament, 1 Timothy and chapter 6. 1 Timothy and chapter number 6. And reading at verse 17, 1 Timothy 6, 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And then the same chapter, down to verse number 7, chapter 6, verse 7, says the Bible, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Then back into the Old Testament. We're keeping you busy tonight, turning the pages of Scripture to Psalm number 49. Book of Psalms, Psalm 49. And reading at verse 6. Says the psalmist, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious or costly. And then across, please, to the First Peter, please, First Peter, and chapter number 1. Peter, First Peter, Peter's first epistle, chapter 1, and verse 18. For as much, this is Peter writing to Christians, he's writing to believers, and he's reminding them of a very important fact. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, that is your vain manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And that concludes this very interesting reading of the Word of God. Now, when I was a young teenager in Glasgow, city of Glasgow, at that time there was a very popular singing group. It was three sisters. They were called the Anderson Sisters. And you know, there was a song that they sung that became very, very popular. And the lyrics was something like this. They sung that, you know, money is the root of all evil. Take it away, take it away, take it away. That's what this song, just a simple lyrics, but it caught on. It became a very popular tune and a very popular song. Money, they said, is the root of all evil. You know, dear friend, that's really not true. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say money is the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. And I venture to say that the predominant sin in Britain tonight is covetousness. It's the love of money. And that leads to all kinds of evils. You know, the things that people are prepared to do to get money is really astounding. The things that we'll do. The love of money. Well, of course, we need money, don't we? We need money to live. But we don't need to live for money. And the trouble is that so many are living for money. And you know what they're finding? They're finding that it doesn't satisfy. You know, there was once a challenge went out to give the best definition of money. And the one that won it was this. Money is a universal passport to anywhere but heaven. That right? Money is a universal passport to anywhere but heaven. You see, if you've got enough money, it'll get you anywhere in this world. Not just the cost of travel, but I mean, it'll get you into circles that normally you wouldn't get in. And so tonight, really, first of all, I want to speak about four things that money cannot do. Four things. The first thing is that money does not guarantee longevity. Now, you might wonder, what's longevity? It just simply means a long life. And you know, the thing is that money can deceive a person into thinking that because they've got lots of money, and you know, the bank is full, and they get the impression, they begin to think that, well, you know, they're going to be here for a long time because they've got so much money. Well, we're reading in Luke chapter 12 about a rich farmer. And you know, one day, just about harvest time, he looked out the farmhouse window and he looked over the fields, and there he saw, my, the fields were just absolutely bulging with crop. Golden corn everywhere, acres of it. And then he did a quick calculation and estimated the weight of the harvest, the volume of the harvest he was going to take in, and he realized his barns weren't going to be big enough. So he said to himself, what I'll do is I'll pull down my barns and I'll build bigger barns wherein to bestow all my goods. And then I'll say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord Jesus says, But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy souls will be required of thee. What did he say? I've got many years. What did God say? This night. My dear friend, whether rich or poor, that's just a reminder that life is very uncertain. We were hearing that tonight. Life is very uncertain. And you know, life is no respecter of persons. Death, rather, is no respecter of persons. You know, we've been reading about a 12-year-old girl who died. And that's sad. And every day children are dying, as well as older adults. Death is no respecter of persons. Dear friend, it's an appointment that every one of us must keep. It's unavoidable. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I wonder, are you prepared? Are you prepared for the moment when you're going to leave this world? As you sit in this meeting, on what are you trusting, and whom are you depending? not only for this life, but for what lies beyond this life? Are you depending on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that we've been hearing about this evening? Or are you depending on someone else or something else, or depending on yourself, or maybe trusting in your riches? My dear friend, it's important that your faith is in the right person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. So understand tonight that money does not guarantee a long life to the person who has it. Doesn't guarantee it. None of us are guaranteed a long life. You know, none of us are guaranteed even another moment. That's why I often say to people, you know, you shouldn't measure time in years and months and days and hours. We should really measure time in moments. Because there was a moment when you were born into this world and you took your first breath, and there's going to be a moment when you're going to take your last breath. So between the moment of birth and the moment of death, dear friend, there must be a moment when you get right with God. There must be a moment when you realize that I'm the lost sinner for whom Jesus Christ died, and in repentance you've received him as your Savior. That's the moment of salvation. I can take you to the very spot in the town of Paisley, Townhead Terrace. I can take you to the very house, the very room. I can take you to the very spot, the very moment when I was born again, when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior as an ungodly young man of 20 on the way to hell. I trusted Christ as my Savior. That was the moment of my salvation. Do you have a moment of salvation? So that I'm learning that money does not guarantee longevity. I'll tell you something else money doesn't guarantee. Lasting security. You know, that's what we want. That's what people want in life. They want security. They want to feel safe. And that's why I read in 1 Timothy in chapter 6, says the apostle to Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, neither trust in the uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us all things richly to enjoy. So what Paul's saying there is this, that riches are uncertain. We can't depend on them. You know, the wise man says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5, he says, for riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Dear friend, you could be a billionaire tonight, and you could be a pauper tomorrow. You know, when this country left the European Union, what we call Brexit, almost overnight, £50 billion went off the shares. They lost their value. And people who were very rich suddenly found themselves very poor. The same with the money crash in 2008. People who were multimillionaires one night were paupers the next night, the next day, the next morning. And they had to learn that, you know, riches are very uncertain. We can't really depend on them. I wonder, are you looking for security tonight? Well, I want to tell you this, you can have real security. You can have security not just for this life, but for eternity. And this security is found in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible describes him, among other things, it describes him as a sure foundation. A foundation that you can absolutely depend upon. And tonight, you know, you can come into the possession of eternal security, eternal safety, salvation, an eternal salvation. It's a wonderful thing to be able to lay your head on a pillow at night and say, thank God, if I don't see the light of tomorrow, I know where I'm going. You have that assurance, that certainty. I wonder, dear friend, are you resting on the sure foundation where real security is found? It's found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and no one else. And I thank God tonight that I'm depending upon Jesus Christ. And that's why I know that I'm safe for time and I'm safe for eternity. Dear friend, you can have this assurance as well. And so money does not guarantee us a long life, but Jesus Christ guarantees eternal life to those who believe in him. Money cannot guarantee security, but Jesus Christ guarantees eternal security for those who prepare to rest and trust in him. Something else about money, you know, it doesn't last forever, does it? You can't take it with you. You know, there was once a very rich man who died. And a few days later, you know, they were talking about this, his death, and someone said to another, asked the question, how much did he leave? The other said, he left it all. He couldn't take it with him. As we sometimes say, there's no pockets in your shroud, dear friend. Says Job, the richest man of his day. He says this in Job chapter 1, verse 21. He says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. You see, the day you were born naked. See, the day you die, you'll be naked. You came in with nothing, and you go out with nothing. You can't take it with you. So why are you so occupied with amassing money? Why are you so taken up with money? Where money can't meet your greatest needs. Far better to die a pauper in Christ than to die a multi-billionaire like Elon Musk, now a trillionaire. I don't envy that man one bit, you know. I wouldn't be in his shoes, as we sometimes say, for all the tea in China. Wouldn't be in his shoes. Someday he's going to leave this world. And you know, when he meets God, he's not going to say, God, you know who I am? You know, I'm Elon, that's whatever his name is. You know, I'm the man who became the first trillionaire on planet Earth. Now, I know what he believes. So I can tell you what the Lord Jesus is going to say to him if he die tonight. You know what the Lord's going to say to him? Never knew you. Never knew you. Fourthly, very quickly, something else that money can't do. Psalm 49, the psalmist says, there is no man who can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for his soul, seeing it is costly. Is it not very solemn? No one, Elon Truss or anyone else, no one, however rich, can by any means redeem a soul from death and hell. It's not possible. Money cannot do that. The redemption of the soul, your soul, is very costly. And gold and silver cannot redeem one single soul. But I've got good news for you tonight. There is someone who can redeem your soul. There is someone who can deliver you from your sin and the consequences of your sin. And it's Jesus Christ. He's the only man, the glorified man who sits in God's right hand tonight, the one we've been hearing about who died and who was buried and who rose again, and he's alive tonight. You know, he's the only man that can redeem your soul. You know, that's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. He reminds the Christians, he says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed by such corruptible things as silver and gold from your empty manner of life that you received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." That's one of the titles of Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb. You know, lambs were used in the Old Testament for sacrifice, for sin. And Christ is described in the Bible as the Lamb of God, the one who came into the world to sacrifice himself at a place called Calvary and to shed his precious blood. And so tonight, Jesus Christ is able to redeem your soul from death and from hell and from eternal loss and judgment. He's able to redeem you because he gave his life for you. He shed his blood. Dear friend, tonight, I make no apology for speaking about blood, especially the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You see, dear friend, the redemption of the soul is costly. I tell you this, it cost the Son of God his life. We've been hearing something of his sufferings, what he endured at the hands of men, but also what he endured when all our sins were laid upon him. I tell you this, Christ paid a tremendous price. Not gold and silver, but his own precious blood to redeem a soul like me. And I thank God tonight I can sing redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by his infinite mercy. God's child and forever I am. Redeemed. Friend, are you redeemed? Are you amongst the redeemed tonight? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who loved you, who came into the world and went to the cross because he loved you? You see, he loved me. I wasn't even alive when Jesus Christ was here on earth. That happened 2,000 years ago. But you know, Jesus Christ knew the day you would be born. And he knew everything about you before you ever came into this world. And when Jesus Christ went to that cross, he went there for you, as though you were the only sinner in all the world. He went there for you. You see, the love of Christ is a personal, individual love. That's why the chief of sinners, Saul of Tarsus, the greatest of sinners, you know, he couldn't get his head round the fact that the Son of God loved him. Loved this man who, before he became a Christian, was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor of Christians. He sought to destroy Christians. He compelled them to blaspheme under torture. He was an insulter of Christians. And yet, Christ saved him on the road to Damascus. You know what Paul said one day? He says, you know, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, every believer in this tent tonight can say the same. The Son of God loved me and he gave himself for me. Can you say that? Can you say that? The Son of God loved me and gave him to... Oh, you should, you can, because it's true. He did give himself for you. But you've never realized it, perhaps. You've never come to believe it. We've been hearing tonight about the importance of believing. As the rich man, as the Lord said to Jairus, only believe. Only believe, friend, that's all you need to do, is to believe. The work is done. And to believe in the Lord Jesus, to put your trust in him. And the moment you do so, you are redeemed. You have been purchased. You have been released from the slave market of sin and from the penalty of your sin by the precious blood of Christ, that precious blood that was shed for sinners, shed for rebels, shed for me. The blood of Christ. Money, friend, cannot buy you salvation. It cannot redeem your soul. It gives you no standing before God. So I trust that you will take on board what Britain needs to take on board. This covetous nation, Scotland, England, Ireland, Wales, it's epidemic, the love of money. It drives people to do all kinds of things. It's the root of every kind of evil. Friend, understand that money is powerless. It doesn't guarantee you a long life. It doesn't give you lasting security. You can't take it with you. It can't redeem one single soul. But the blood of Jesus Christ can. Trust Christ now. You might never have another chance. Trust Christ now whilst you can. Shall we pray?